Brad Urschel is one of the first things you notice when walking into Cornerstone or Munger's Worship. He's a committed member. He's the genuine, friendly guy with a beaming warm smile and amazing spirit. A devoted husband and father to two teenagers. If you ask him, "How are you?" he'll reply, "Awesome. What else is there?" But there's much more to his story that you may not know.
I was the youngest in my class because of my July 12th birthday. And so I was always getting picked on by bullies, and I didn't feel like I was as good as everybody else. And so then my family moved out to go to put us in St. Mark's in Hockaday. And I repeated third grade when I did that. And like automatically overnight, I became one of the best athletes in the class.
His drive, his competitive nature, and positive spirit to always do his best was instilled by his family and led him to excel in every way.
And at St. Mark's, at all the meets, we wouldn't have enough people in all the events. So I would fill in all the different events, and people, we didn't have people in, and I'd win them. And so I would like do like 15 events every meet. I would like throw the shot put, run across, do the high hurdles, you know, back and high jump, you know, long jump. And so, and all the coaches, they called me the franchise.
They loved the franchise so much that in 2007, he was named the greatest athlete in the school's 100-year history. He set records that 31 years later stand unbroken. His dad, a Princeton graduate himself, always said, "Brad can go anywhere, but my money is going to Princeton." Princeton was in his blood.
I played football and indoor and outdoor track in college. And I was All-American Football Hall of Fame. I played wide receiver and punter, and my roommate was quarterback. And so that was a good. He lived in San Diego. So in the summers, I go out and train with him on the beach. We take the football out there, and you know, two college kids, and you know, and be throwing on the beach, and that was a good off season.
Brad excelled in track and field as well, breaking Princeton decathlon records his freshman year and every year thereafter.
So after I graduated from Princeton, I went to the pre-Olympic Games and did well enough there to take a year off of medical school and train for LA Games. And for the first time in my life, I was in grad school. And for the Olympics, I mean, you know, that, and so my schooling was my sports for the first time in my life.
Brad was always about possibilities, not limitations. Competing in the Olympics, becoming a doctor like his father and brother, a children's author and illustrator, or maybe a neuroscientist. Anything was possible until the evening of November 30th, 1983.
I was asleep in the back seat, and so, you know, I didn't even know anything happened. And at 3:33, because I wake up every night for 27 years now at 3:33. Just I wake up, because my body probably knows better than this isn't a good time to be asleep. At 3:33, the car door was stopped over the south shore of the highway and the gravel along the side, and the wheel spun out, flipped the car 1.5 times, ended upside down. I got thrown out from the back seat. I got thrown out the front passenger door. My head at the door knocked it open. I disappeared in the early morning darkness. the sheriff's son drove by in a pickup truck, like right about then when I started breathing. And my, so my dad flags him down, and to have anybody even there in nowhere, and then to know where the closest emergency room was a miracle. And the closest one was over 100 miles away in Odessa.
Brad lay in a coma for a month. He awoke on Christmas Eve.
I didn't know I'd been in an accident because I was asleep. I just woke up. I knew I was in the hospital. I'd been in the hospital enough as an athlete from football injuries and torn ligaments. And
having lost 60 pounds and all muscle tone, all Brad could think about was how his father felt and how life would now be very different.
When things seem hard, or things are hard in my life now, I think about that, what that felt like. And I mean, to not know where your son, you know, and I just my whole life I've been, you know, going for this dream, and then right there, for that to happen, that's a pretty bad snap. My life now is, it's more connected to other people and to God, because I can't do it myself. My faith is all that I am now. I'm who I was intellectually and physically before. That's who I am spiritually. I redirected all of that into my spiritual. And that's all that matters to me now.
Before his accident, Brad defined himself by his effort and accomplishments. Now, he is living his second life.
I was dead. The worst thing that can happen to us in life is to die. Well, that was the worst thing, but now it's the top of my priority. It's the top of my resume. I'm dead, yes. You know, it's not my story, but it's about God's story in me. It's so awesome that, you know, when we're reborn, that we leave the old self behind and take on our new self. Well, that old self was dead.
Instead of asking the question, why me? He says, why not me? It's not about what God took away from him. It's what God gave him.
I don't think that God intended for this to happen, or that he did it to me. Or what I know is that he put man down here on earth and gave us free will, and so that we can make our own choices.
God had greater plans for Brad than his college goals and Olympic dreams. A whole world of understanding opened for him through the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
And here I am limping around 27 years later, and my life is about the power of God being seen. It's not about me anymore, but it's about God in me.
He's been given the gifts of humility and compassion.
People would come up to me at the bus stop and say, are you okay? And yeah, are you okay? So people perceive me as something's wrong with me. And there's something wrong with everybody, but mine's more obvious. It's just curious. I mean, now I see somebody limping around, you know, I wonder what happened to him too. That's what we do.
Each spring, kids from about 30 schools participate in a St. Mark's track meet named in his honor. He's involved in Bible studies, he tells a story, and shares his faith to youth groups and churches. Brad did make it to the 1984 Olympic Games. His parents pushed him from event to event to watch his former teammates compete. Brad has a quote from a big screen there. The most important thing in the Olympic Games is not winning, but taking part. The essential thing in life is not conquering, but in playing well.
I'm not going to say testing, because God doesn't test us here to give us everything we need. So I mean, I was one of the best athletes in the world. I trained for the games, and I graduated, went to the games, took me off the medical school, and went to Albert Christian Center. And then my dad picked me up, and he's driving me, and 333 got covered in the soft shore of the highway, country road and gravel, spun out, flipped 1.5 times, landed upside down, and so now, and he was crawling around the early morning darkness trying to find me. And then he found me, and I was dead. And my left side was paralyzed. And I said he thought what a good life I had, he was going to let me go. And now that I'm back, and my son's about the age I was, and I can't even imagine thinking about it. And they said he put it in God's hands and did it. And I started breathing. Which was a miracle. And then some sheriffs and drove by, so my dad ran and flagged him down and came back and picked up his dead son that he just killed, and got in the back of the pickup truck and was resuscitated a number of times. And the close mission was Odessa, 100 miles away. And by staying alive, I got into the hospital, and a month before my accident, my mom had a brain tumor. Everybody thought, oh, this is terrible. I mean, it was terrible, but they located the best neurosurgeon in the world for her then. So here at 333, they'd already done the research of who the best was, Dr. James Scott of Baylor. And so my dad, this was before cell phones too, and so when we got to the hospital, my dad called up, Mom, you've been in touch with us. This is like 333 in the morning. How'd you like to be a mom? And that, looks like Brad's gonna die and better get out of here. But she called us Pearl, our best family friend and neighbors our whole life, and they have 5 kids. We have 5 kids all the same age, and so we do everything. And so he got his liver all set up, and then got Dr. Scott on the plane, and then flew down with my mom and Dr. Scott. And this is all happening at 3:30 in the morning and things. And so they got out of the mercy room, and I stayed a lot there. I stuck to that stage, if the other person could even make it. And I was in that state, and my dad was subject to him from the accident. He couldn't go and do it either. That's when he called my mom. And so this neurosurgeon had a revolutionary new brain pressure technique that precluded the necessity for an operation. And I'm sorry. Down in the country hospital, they're going to remove the blood clot, which was their doing at that time. And so, it's like, they just apology, like on a TV show or something. They busted through the door and just, and so Dr. Scott said, no, we're not going to do that. And so they put these brain monitors in my head to release the pressure instead of operating. So I saw the dent right there, the reminder right there. And so they released the pressure through these monitors, and so they didn't have operating. I was one of the first people that did it, and that's all they do now. They only do the operation. On the back of the pickup truck, it was so cold that morning, we hop a tent down. And the doctor said later, that's one thing to say about my life. It slowed the blood flow to damage my left brain. And now, if you get brain damage, they put me on ice. And so God did it for me before they were killing it. And So I mean, my whole life isn't about me or anything. And it's, now it's about the Holy Spirit. And I know the Holy Spirit from this, of losing everything. The disciples, Jesus, how would they have to give up everything and follow me? Could have never and would have never. Why would I give that? The world looked up to me and everything, education, athletics. And why would I give that up? And I couldn't have. And so he did it for me. So this is the greatest gift of all, of losing everything. So my weakness is his strength. I've won the best physical hearts before, and then God changed my heart. And now I have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And my life now is better than when I had everything. And I mean, that's impossible. In Genesis, nothing would be impossible with it, but I believe. And so, now, I mean, in my weakness is a strength. It's actually a disabled creed. It's, I ask God for all things that I might enjoy life. And I might enjoy life. And he gave me life that I could enjoy all things. So enjoy is enjoy. And he gave me that new life. And it's not about what I do, but it's about what he does now. And before, my whole world is about competition and getting better at everything else, in school and in sports, and I was. And now my whole world is one of love, of people helping me. And it changed everything, something I could never figure out and done myself. And I live in a world of people that feeling sorry for me at first. And my hedge of protection to what was before. And because you can't talk down neuroscience maybe from Benson, and you can't look at it with the gap in. So I'm watching it through this hedge, through a hedge of protection. I have everything. And so when this happened, it's like I'm watching them judge it's like Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning. He was a Jew in a Nazi concentration camp during the Second World War. And that was like one of the worst experiences ever. And he said that people made it through that experience the worst, which was the worst. And the people that made it through it weren't the ones when they were starving prisoners, it was still somebody else who didn't eat themselves, but would actually give their food to somebody else. And in that act, they would develop a high level of meaning in their life. And so logo psychology is psychology based on meaning. And so my whole life has taken on a whole different meaning. And now it's about, I learned a gift to receive. I can help other people, let them help me. And that takes humility. And I was humble before, because I was the best at everything. And then God helped me. And it did what I couldn't do. And so I rejoice in my suffering. And memory is one of my biggest disabilities. The only thing I know is scripture. And because it's true, the truth will set you free. Mm-hmm.
I don't have to memorize it. I hear it and I know it. And you properly receive that spirit. And so when things are good, that's great. When they're bad, it's even better, because then it's not about us figuring out and doing it. It's about how open our eyes are, God open to life. And so we're looking to see how God's going to move in our life. And He always does. And that's His promise. And it's about receiving His promises. And my very first memory verse was the one about Malachi 3:10. And I already said it, but two of my favorite things in the Bible, when God said, "Just test me in this." God tests us, and so that's something good. And the other one is when Peter said, "Get behind me," Jesus said it to Peter. He put behind me, devil. And then when he was talking to the devil, he turned his back on it. So get behind me, man. So I love that too. I don't have to do anything.
You all have any questions for Brad?
I just have one comment. I just want to say that the Lord has spared you. You know, the blood was spattered, and I think you're doing quite well.
May
the Lord bless you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your inspiration is
that's what I was gonna say.
Provide a greater perspective.
When you say that, the first thing I think, it's not me, the inspiration, but it's the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I know the Holy Spirit, and you just and this is the Holy Spirit, and we're two more together by name.
Yeah.
In the religious church, thing about preaching the Holy Spirit, it's about receiving it, and we don't have to find it; it finds us.
Right.
And
it's awesome.
And then you said that I'm an inspiration, and it's interesting, my friends got together and set up a nonprofit ministry for me. And at first it was the spirit of Brad. And it's not me, it's not. I had a great spirit before and now, but it's about the spirit in me. And this is a change of changing everything. Because then my spirit has become the spirit in me, the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The whole spirit of God. And it's not Christian relativity. Our pain and suffering and humiliation and it's relative to what God. Okay, and Jesus was all God and all man, which is impossible. How can that be? But that's how. Because it's God. And that was the ultimate action of compassion, that Jesus became all us. And so no matter what we're going through, or how bad it, how much pain we're in, like a lot of pain, then you know, you don't have to, oh, you know, God help me out here, it's really hurts. And we can't even know how much It makes it, it's like a holiday vacation. I wouldn't recommend coming here, but this is a good vacation, but it's, I don't plan this vacation. It's perfect. I mean, it's God's redemption. Dr. Jim Dennison said, God redeems everything. He allows the causes to happen. He didn't do this for me to be a better person. He wanted to sleep in heaven when this happened, but he redeemed it through everything compassion.
Yeah.
And you can't have that thing with independent suffering.
Yeah.
So then that, the worst thing becomes the best thing. That's when we can rejoice in our suffering. And so when something happens, it's bad. Whenever something bad happens, the first thing I said is, well, that could have been worse. And then I think about, well, how could it have been worse? And then next, whatever happened, I was bad. So, but I still love to come out of it. So that the first thing, that could have been worse. And,
that's good.
Yeah.
Right. You know what impresses me about you?
What?
You were able to attend an Ivy League school.
Mm-hmm.
And you made it. You did great, wonderful.
And the neuroscience, are you kidding?
That's
and
right.
I had dyslexia. And my roommate was a Rhodes Scholar. He was a Rhodes Scholar.
Yes.
I mean,
he was smart.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, I mean, we he was number 5, I was in the top 10. Everybody called us Nick one time. In your higher education at Princeton, we're at 5 plus 7, and we're at 5 plus 10, it equals 7. Then it was, and because 5 to help go into number 10, you get 7 points.
Wow.
And so that was higher education, higher math at Princeton. It said that I would go out in the summer to train with Grant on the beach. I don't know if I can say this in the church. We went to Black's Beach, which was a new beach.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, San Diego.
It's San Diego. And that was great for two college guys.
Hey, you've seen it all, Brad.
Yeah,
you had a question, Kimmy? I was just saying, I'm so thankful for you coming here today and just your honesty. And I know me personally, I was very touched. I have disabilities, and sometimes I just get, I deal with pain a lot, and I just get so down on myself. And just hearing you and the way you look at things, it really just changes the way I look at things. So thank you so much. And just your perspective on everything, and the Holy Spirit just was really here today, and God really used you. So thank you very much for coming here today. You're beautiful, Brett, and staff. So thank you very much. And you sing so beautifully, and I just, y'all are both such blessings. So thank you. I really got touched, so thank you.
You said the Holy Spirit was here. He's still here.
He's still here, yes, definitely. Yeah, he hasn't left yet. I'm just saying, God uses you. And definitely.
There's nothing hard, but nothing better. And it's in our pain. God doesn't need our abilities, He just wants our availability.
Right.
I wasn't available before.
Right.
And we're not in pain, it's a lot easier to be available.
Yeah, it is.
And so I think of my pain. I mean, I've been like a lot of pain all the time.
Yeah, I bet.
And you know, that's just, to me, that's a reminder. And that's when I pray out to God.
Yeah.
And So then that's the directions that in our brain is in our language for God.
Well, I'm glad you came and talked to us today. It's a good feeling. It was really a good feeling that you were all key. All your sports.
God is the key. Yeah. But is it really a key can open door policy?
Yeah, he had you on there.
That's right.
What you can do.
Here's the box.
You have to come back and see
him. I'm not leaving. I'm staying
here. You got to stay. I know that's right.
And you know, that would bother me. Like I said, my fatigue is my biggest disability. So
yeah,
one of the other churches, like, I'll lay in the back seat because I need to rest. And you know, I can, like, when I'm standing up, my brain, like, it's like white noise and shh. And that's so on the LA in the back.
Yep.
I mean, people want to, why is it?
It's all right. You can do it here.
You've done that here. You are in good company.
Yes.
Oh, and that's also why they call it brain damn age. Yeah. And you know, as we get older, and that's why old people have risen, because they've been young and bright and vibrant and as we get older. And back in 83 when this happened, they thought that once a brain cell was dead, then that would regenerate. Now they know it does.
Right.
And so, you know, as we get older, we're not just losing everything all the time, but in the Center for Brain Health is on Mockingbird at Nottingham Heights. And the head of it is Dr. Sandy Chapman. She writes all these books about encouraging people to keep stimulating our brains and because, you know, we're still able to keep developing our brain cells. And so one thing that I loved music before and I love music now, and whenever I hear a song on the radio, especially from before, I think I have to think to let it not, I'm doing that. And I can remember practicing everybody, and so that's mental gymnastics, and you know, to think about there's two things about physical fitness. There's a book. It's called Take the Stairs. And that was who I was before. I mean, I wouldn't take the elevator. I would run up the stairs. And that's functional life. And that was how I got in such great shape. It was always like running and jumping over things. And I would say, be careful. And I could like run down the stairs and just, you know, bounding down, and now people, you know, I ride my bike anymore. whenever I get on my bike, I'm just like, be careful. I said, I don't have to be working, I'm cared for. And you know, I don't experience fear anymore. I mean, I've been damn fucking scared of.
Right.
I mean, one, I've been hit 13 times with my bike in 37 years.
Oh, gosh.
And I got hit by a FedEx truck at an intersection one time. And then I was like laying in the middle of the intersection. And the guy jammed on the brake and the wind's back. Are you okay? I stand up and dust myself off. How can I be okay? I got hit by a FedEx truck. How can I be okay? And then put me on my bike and the back of the truck and delivered me a free delivery to Lyx, which is only three more blocks. And so I got a free delivery that day, but it wasn't worth it for 3 blocks. And you know, in the Bible it says over 300 times fear not. And that's one time for every day. So And he said for another time every day, you know, you're not. So, you're not.
Right.
Yeah, and fear is just the absence of God. Okay, I love that the darkness doesn't exist. Darkness is just the absence of light.
Right.
And so that's the same. That fear is just the absence of God in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's it. And that evil doesn't exist. It's the absence of God. And so when God's playing, they can just, and
awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You're awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
That's who I'm talking to, him and you.
That's not a miss, I told you.
Yeah.
And you know, I came across this story. It's called Wet Pants, and it's on the internet too. And it's about a little boy who goes to a new school, and he's in there, and he's just in an exam. The teacher was walking up and down the aisles, you know, looking at people and seeing it, and if they were struggling, you know. And she was being there for one, and then the boy wet his pants, and it was like a big thing. And here who's new in the school, he was so traumatized, and,
right.
And he saw the teacher walking down the aisle, and he just knew that she was going to see it, and then she walked by, and she kept on going back to her desk. And she went to grab a glass of water and started drinking it, and then was walking down the aisle, and then she tripped, and water went all over his desk and went all over him, and the whole class just laughed, really. It's like a loud laugh at her, and then after class, then he came up to her and said, Why did you do that for me? He couldn't understand because she, and then she said, oh, when I was your age and I went to new school and that happened to me. And so, did it for me.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That is.
So check it out online, Wet Pants.
Okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You getting tired?
Well, yeah, I mean, so wherever I go, like I said, the Holy Spirit goes out before me. People see it, but I see the fruits of Spirit. And like on the train, I take the bus and train anywhere, and little old ladies would get out of their seats, and I'd get on with them, and I'll be standing there, and they'll say, oh, you want to sit down here? And, you know, most people would have to take a little lady's seat.
And, right.
But then, so I really need to sit down. And I said, oh, thank you so much, and that's all it actually is. I need it myself, but I'm happy to hurt by that. And ego is an acronym for easy guide out. To think and learn control and so I love that because it's about receiving God's promises. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not going to say amen because men are the problem. It's about amen. 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 It's about it.
Amen. You're so awesome, dude.
Well, I just want to share a short scripture with you guys. So the church is, I know you want to read a little bit of the Bible today.
Right.
So it's in Genesis 32, 22 to 32. It's, you know, we were talking on Tuesday and asked, well, what's the story where someone was broken and God redeemed that? And I thought of the story of Jacob wrestling with the Lord. So Genesis 32, 22, I'm reading from the NIV. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he clutched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." And Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called that place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So if you don't know the story of Jacob very well, the short version is he was the younger brother of two twins, and God told his mom that Jacob is going to be, even though he's the younger, he's going to be the one to inherit the blessing and the promise that was promised his grandfather and his father, Abraham and Isaac. But despite of the fact that the Lord made this promise to Jacob, Jacob always wanted to do everything himself, through his power. He tricked his brother and he tricked his father to get the blessing. He had to run for his life from his family and leave his home because his brother wanted to kill him. And even a few chapters before this, he sees the Lord. And you kind of see the same attitude. Even when he's dealing with the Lord, you know, he sees a vision that they call Jacob's ladder. And his response to God is, he says, you know, surely the Lord is in this place. And he says, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And he goes on, and he will give him a tenth of everything else. If, you know, you do this and this and this, then I'll give you this.
Right.
And that's kind of how he dealt with everything in his life. Trickery, and he tricked his father-in-law into trying to get the right sheep, and he always thought it was his scheming and his planning and his strength and his skill that was getting him through in his life. But it wasn't. It was God the whole time. And so here, it's interesting, whenever God appeared to him there, he said, "I'm the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac." This is the first time that he sees the Lord when he's fleeing. The God of Abraham and Isaac. But here, when he changes his name is Jacob, which means the deceiver, the heel grabber, because he's grabbing his brother's heel whenever he came out of the womb, like he wanted to come out first. He always did everything by his own power, trying to be first, trying to be the best in his own mind all the time. But God said, "No, you're Israel, that God fights for you." Mm-hmm. And it was all that time, and that's whenever, and right after this, you see that, you know, Jacob, his brother, meets him, and there's peace between him and his brother. Not because of the schemes that Jacob had done, but because God is mighty and God fought on his behalf.
That's right. Amen.
And he enabled that peace. And Amen. He makes another altar to God. And he called it El Elohe Israel, which means God, the God of Israel, my God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So now he's saying that this is my God, and he asked for God. He said, "God bless me." This is the first time you see Jacob asking for the blessing. He didn't have to take it for himself. So whether you have been injured, if I've experienced in my life, damage from my own sin, things that I was going against God, and God had to give me a little snap and turn me around and broke me a little bit, God will use that brokenness. Like he broke Jacob's hip and he used it to show him, "I am the power of God." And he used that to give him his blessing that was already promised. And whether it's something that you experienced through no fault of your own, like the blind man that Jesus sent in John 9, he says, is he blind because of his sin and his parents' sin? And Jesus said, no. It's so that God would be glorified in his life.
And that was one of the stories that really spoke to me at first, is that it could say that was no righteous Jesus as the way of glorified God. And that was one of the first stories that I really saw that really changed my life.
Amen.
So that's true. Like Brad's story isn't unique in that we all have broken things and places, and it's all about the way that he looked at it. You know, it could have been, well, I used to be an Olympic athlete and I used to be the best, and now I'm the least, and that's it. And that's how a lot of us view our struggles and our pain, is that, well, this is what I'm going through, and we give up, or we think it means that God doesn't care for us.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That can be your story too, that through that brokenness, mm-hmm. God shows his strength, he shows his love for us, and you're a testimony to others.
That's right.
When you praise him, the good things and bad things.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
If you have trouble today, don't worry about tomorrow.
Right.
That's enough for Jesus.
That is enough for one day.
You all want to sing a praise song?
Great.
Yeah.
You just do what you want, girl.
And that's a good to ask God for all things that I might enjoy life and gain life, that I can enjoy all things.
That's true.
I love that.
Can you go to the side of the lyrics?
Yes.
Suffering, the pain in me, the burning.
Amen.
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 Beautiful.
Thank you, Nikki. You are blessed with a beautiful voice. Y'all are just blessed the socks off of us.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. Thank you, director, for coming. Appreciate you. Appreciate what you do. I always say, one of the messages that we constantly repeat here is do what you can. Mm-hmm. Take what you have and do what you can. Don't worry about what you can't do. That's God's department. What you can do. So thank you for coming to us and for showing us what that looks like. Examples are always better. And as always, I won't give a formal invitation because there's so few of us. But if you need prayer, by all means, stop by after we're finished. Do we have any announcements that we need to deal with?
Our fifth Sunday dinner is 2 weeks away. I haven't got the paperwork out, so we will put it out next Sunday so that everybody will know what they're supposed to bring.
All right. Praise God. So I'll go ahead and close this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you again, once again, for what you have done, for allowing us to be here today, for the message that you have brought, both in word and in practice. Help us all to go out this week and do what you called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And then we can't do it. We receive that, let the Holy Spirit be on us. Do it for us.
Amen.
If we can do it, we need Holy Spirit.
That's right, sir.
But we do.